Journey to the River Sea, Chapter 14. "Come and see her," said Finn. "Come and see your namesake." He got into the canoe beside Maya and Miss Minton and paddled round to the side of the Arabella so that Miss Minton could see the name printed on the bows. Miss Minton put up a bony hand to trace the letters. For a while she was silent, and then she said, "It's a better name for a boat than for a governess or a housemaid." She sniffed and felt for a handkerchief, the same one with the initial A on it that she had lent to Maya in the cab. And once again, Maya thought what an idiot she had been not to guess what Finn had guessed so quickly. "He said if he got away and got himself a boat, he'd call it after me," said Miss Minton. "I didn't help him all that much. He'd have done it anyway, but he never forgot a promise." They were in the lagoon. It was the day after Clovis had sailed on the Bishop. The twins and Mrs. Carter had gone to church, but when Miss Minton had shown Mrs. Carter the mysterious bruises on Maya's arm, she had got permission to keep her at home, and as soon as they were safely away, Furrow had come to fetch them. Back in the hut, Finn began on the questions. "How did you know? How did you know who I was as soon as you saw me come out of the trapdoor in the museum?" "You're so like your father. The eyes, the way your voice is pitched. He wasn't much older than you are now when he ran away from Westwood. And I knew he'd married an Indian woman and had a son. We kept in touch. So when I saw that the crows had caught you, I realised your plan had gone wrong." "You mean you knew what we were planning?" said Maya. Not at all pleased. "More or less. Your acting skills are not very great," said Miss Minton. "And as a liar, you're bottom of the class." "I made friends with old Lila, and when she realised that I knew Bernard, she told me about this place. But you seem to know what you're doing, so I left you to it." "We did know what we were doing," said Finn, "but Clovis just went berserk when we got down into the cellar. Some skulls came tumbling out of a packing case, and he saw these eye sockets staring at him. Then he fell over a throwing spear, and the lamp kept going out. There was weird moaning noise too. It was only the water pipes, but he got hysterical and said he felt sick and he couldn't go through with it. I suppose it was a sort of stage fright. He really thought the crows were going to hurt him. I'd promised Maya I wouldn't let him get too scared, so I stayed. I meant to make a dash for it when the crows opened the door and lead them away from him, but then the sloth fell over and he thought it was a bomb." "Poor Clovis," said Maya. "She was always sticking up for him," said Finn. "Still, he gave a fine performance in the end, you must admit, said Miss Minton. Then they asked her about her time at Westwood. "I was just a housemaid," she said. "No one called me Arabella. The butler wouldn't permit it. I was always Bella, except to Bernard." And she told them what had happened after Bernard left. You can't imagine the uproar. Everyone was stamping about and shouting, and they were angry, not sad. Then very soon after that, the butler found me reading in the library. No one read books at Westwood. I was meant to be dusting them, not reading them, and I was dismissed. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I remember what Bernard had said, that I should go away and get an education. He said there were colleges where you could study at night and earn your keep during the day. So I went to London and I did just that. It took me 6 years to get my degree, but I did it." Miss Minton looked away and permitted herself a smile, for she had not just got a degree, but a first-class honours degree, when no one had done that in the college before. "So then you became a governess?" said Maya. "Yes, but Bernard wrote to me, and his letters made me want to see this place where he was so happy. I tried hard to save enough for the fare, but I never succeeded. And then this job came up with the Carters, just 2 weeks after I accepted it. I heard that Bernard had died. The letter came back with a blue cross and deceased on the envelope. It was a fearful shock. Then, when I came out and guessed what the crows were up to, I kept my eyes open. I knew how Bernard felt about Westwood, and that he would hate for his son to be dragged back there against his will. Well, thank goodness you did, said Finn. But Miss Minton now wanted to see the animals that Bernard had written about. Does the anteater still come? She asked. And the capuchin monkey? And Finn said yes. And he showed her everything. The hummingbird bottle, the place where the turtle hauled out of the water while the dog paddled between them. I see why he was so happy here, she said. It's a wonderful place. Yes, but Finn's going away, in the Arabella, said Maya. He's going a long, long way. And Minty frowned at the sadness in her voice. And he won't take me. No, of course not, said Miss Minton. That would hardly do. Maya looked up into the face of the woman she trusted. Wouldn't you like to go on a great journey? Find a place no one knew about? What I would like is nothing to do with it. I have to earn my living, and you must get an education, young lady. But even though she knew that Finn would not take her, Maya was hungry for all the details about his journey. What if they aren't there anymore? She wanted to know. The Zanti, I mean. Then I'll go on till I find them, said Finn. They have to be somewhere. Miss Minton was silent. She was strictly true. Tribes had been wiped out by illness or fighting or had been kidnapped. She could not be happy about a boy of his age on such a journey alone, but she had no power to prevent Finn from living the life that he wished. Maya was a different matter. She was wholly responsible for keeping Maya safe, and it was out of the question that she should be allowed to go. It was as they came away from the lagoon in Furrow's canoe that Miss Minton suddenly told Furrow to stop. A breeze had sprung up, and as the leaves of the tall broad-leaved tree blew to the one side, she had seen its trunk, a large and most exquisite butterfly. Miss Minton did not chase butterflies, but this one was so enormous and so beautiful and so still that she clambered out of the canoe and went to look. My goodness, she said. The butterfly was still because it was dead. Dead but perfectly preserved in a web of a large spider who had left it there and would probably come back and eat it later. Very carefully, Miss Minton took the butterfly from the tree, using her handkerchief so as not to touch it directly, and she carried it back to the boat. Oh, said Maya, I've never seen anything like that before, and even Furrow shook his head. A brilliant yellow and black with wings ended in two long tails, like the tail of a swallow. It looks special, doesn't it? Maya went on. Professor Glastonbury will know what it is. Miss Minton nodded, trying not to feel excited. It is most unlikely that it will turn out to be anything unusual, she said firmly. But Maya saw her looking at the creature, laying on her lap, and once again. In Manhouse, it quickly got about that Finn Taverner had been snatched by the crows and taken on board the Bishop, and that it was the Carter twins who had betrayed him. The reaction of almost everyone was anger. Anger with the crows and anger with the twins. Colonel De Silva was particularly upset. All the trouble he had taken to lead the crows astray had come to nothing. He felt that he had failed his old friend Bernard and he was going to miss Finn. I'd better go and see what's to be done about the Arabella, he said to his second in command. And all the taverner's things? The dog'll go wild, I imagine. Can't fend for himself, he sighed. I'll go next week. The Indians will see that no one steals anything. And if those wretched Carter twins come again to ask about the reward, send them away with a flea in their ear. The boy hasn't been gone 3 days. Nasty money-grabbing little worms. And he turned aside and spat out of the window, a thing he hadn't done since he was young. Professor Glastonbury had had trouble with the exhibits. He was supposed to collect the obidos and had been late coming home. It was therefore not till early a week in the week that he had passed that he came back to the museum and found his first caller was Miss Minton. Miss Minton had been very distressed when the sloth came crashing to the ground, and although they had been able to right the skeleton before they left, there had been no time to examine it. Now, she knocked on the door of the lab and found the professor standing by it with a worried look. "I came to ask if there's been any serious damage. We never thought the crows would be so violent." "No, none of the bones are broken. The backbone's a bit dislodged, but I can fix that." He went out, shut both the lab doors and the door of his office. Then he said, "I'm not quite clear what happened. They say that Finn's been caught and dragged back to Westwood, but surely Maya wouldn't have given away his hiding place." "No, it wasn't like that. Or only in a sense." And she told him the whole story about the children's plan, the way it had nearly gone wrong, and the happy ending. The professor was delighted. "Good, good. So Finn is safe. And of course I should have guessed that you were Bella. Bernard spoke of you as his only friend he had. Finn is keeping out of the way, you say. For the time being, till Clovis is safely out to sea. Then he'll sail off in the Arabella, and I'm afraid Maya's going to get upset. She has a great thirst for adventure. And you? Do you have a thirst for adventure?" the professor asked. "Who doesn't?" said Miss Minton, and shrugged. Then she took out the box in which she had packed the butterfly. "I wonder if you knew what this was." Very carefully, the professor lifted the layers of the cotton. "Good heavens! Don't tell me you found a Hannet's swallowtail." He took the box over to the window. "But you have, and it's perfectly preserved." Miss Minton explained about the spider's web. "I could get you a good price for it if you wish to sell it. They're very rare. I know a collector in Manhouse who's been waiting for one. All right, or you could sell it to the museum, but you'd get a better price from him." "What sort of price?" said Miss Minton. "In English money, about £80. Miss Minton stared at him. "But that's almost half my yearly wage." "Well, that's what it's worth. More if you send it to England. After all, Taverner's lived by collecting and selling things he found. He's not the only one who can do it, you know." Miss Minton was silent, looking into the future. Could it be that a door had opened for her? She would never leave Maya, but one day, was it possible she could escape from the drudgery of teaching children like the twins? The professor, watching her, decided to strike while the iron was hot. "I have to go to lunch now," he said. "I know you don't care for foreign food, but if you wish, I could give you a list of the things that are worth collecting. Some of the plant resins are very valuable. You don't have to go after them with a net." "Did I dare say I didn't care for foreign food?" Miss Minton said huffily. "I don't remember saying it. In fact, I didn't say it. I do care for foreign food. Would you care to join me?"